Good evening, everyone. My name is Cindy Manosky, and I'm from the Big Island of Hawaii. I extend a warm welcome to everyone on this Mentoring for Free Saturday Skills call and to all those who will listen to the recording of this call in the future. Today is Saturday, the 5th of March, 2011. Mentoring for Free is not an MLM company, and we're not an affiliate program. There's no cost to you for this or any of our more than 10 live generic training calls and interactive discussions each week. Mentoring for Free is simply a community of volunteers who believe in the value of education, personal development, and in sharing what we know works. Our purpose is to help anyone and any company succeed in network marketing by providing education, coaching, mentoring, and support within a mastermind environment. It is my pleasure to introduce the author of Evil Medicine, the creator of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, the co-founder of Mentoring for Free, from Monticello, Florida, my good friend and mentor, Mr. Richard Dennis.
Thanks, Cindy. Thanks very much for that introduction. When I first started working with Michael a number of years ago, just trying to get an idea of what assets were available and what training we did and so forth. And I interviewed him to kind of take inventory of what he was doing. And Michael mentioned colors. There's a big difference between us. I didn't know it at the time, but I'm the green personality and he's the blue personality. And to me, the way that translated was I was focused and plan-oriented. And Michael was excited and over the top, and when he started talking to me about colors, I figured it was just hype, some imaginary feel-good mumbo-jumbo. I just didn't give it much thought. I had work to do, and colors wasn't part of it. And so we started to kind of formulate the idea for Mentoring for Free, and one of the obvious things Michael didn't have that we needed was written testimonials. I knew there were a lot of people very loyal to him, but we had nothing in writing. So we made a list of names of people, and I started calling them and interviewing them. And I talked to about 24 people, and they all told me about the wins they'd had working with Michael, and that was great. And they had different kinds of wins. But what really fascinated me was every single one of those 24 people also mentioned one particular win, using the colors training in their lives or in their business or both. I just kept hearing it over and over and over and over. And after hearing that, it began to sink into me. I was a lot more open to trying it, and I did. And, of course, it made a tremendous difference in my life, both personal and business. And for you, whether you've never heard a colors training before or if you've heard dozens of them, you're in for a real treat tonight. My guests are Bob and Anna Bassett. And Anna spent many years as a professional detective. Bob was a college professor. But more than anything, they're both students. And tonight they're going to give you a bunch of examples that they have seen about how different personalities talk to each other. I think you'll find it real useful in dealing with the personalities. I'll also mention they have many talents. First time I met them, we were at dinner with a friend who was from England. Bob Bassett told a joke where the setting was a British pub, and our English friend was just laughing his head off because, as he said back then, Bob had a better British accent than he did. So I'd like to introduce my good friends, the detective and the professor with the British accent, Anna and Bob Bassett.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, hi, everybody. Welcome, and really thanks a lot for joining us. I know your Saturday night is precious, and thank you for spending at least half an hour of it with us. The topic tonight is the colors of personalities, and Tom Bigal Schreider will say this is the secret language of prospects, and we know that there are four dialects of that language. There's the yellowish and greenish and reddish and bluvian, and we're going to teach you how to speak those four different languages. And like Tom Bigal says, you can have all the motivation in the world, you can have all the vision and the goals and the positive attitudes, but unless you've got skills, unless you know what to say and what to do, you're going to be dead in the water. Roadkill, as he says. So far better than any kind of other training. We find the skills training is the best. And one of the best skills that we ever learned from Michael or from Tom Bigel Schreider or Jerry DeRino Clark is the colors of personalities.
And it's almost like learning a foreign language. And if you learn it, as Tom says, to even speak it in broken language with the colors, you will be doing extremely well with anyone that you talk to, whether it's a family member, a child, your boss, your coworkers, or anyone in your network marketing business.
That's right. So let's go over the four different colors, and we'll do the usual thing. Take out a piece of paper, and we're going to make this a colorful presentation, and we're going to make this as easy and simple as possible. So this chart is best drawn with crayons. And if Richard's back, we know that he's got a box of crayons handy all the time. Are you back? Oh, good. Okay. All right. So probably your black crayon would be the best. Draw a vertical line down a piece of paper, right down the center, and then a horizontal line across from left to right. And at the top of the page, put open. And at the bottom of the page, put closed. To the left, put indirect. And at the right, put direct. Now, this is the usual way of doing this. We like to think of this not so much as open and closed, but huggy and non-huggy. Right? And you're going to see what we mean in a minute. So you could put after open, huggy or hugful. I don't know if those are words at all. And down at the bottom, closed is, just think of closed arms. These are people who don't give you hugs. Over to the left, the indirect people, you can call them the quiet people or the non-talky people. And over to the right, the direct side, are the talky people. All right, that divides your page into four quadrants. In your upper left quadrant, you can get out your yellow crayon here because we're talking about the yellows. And if you have any kind of drawing skills at all, draw a yellow teddy bear, a yellow teddy bear. And so the teddy bear, its whole job is to give you hugs. So the teddy bears are huggy, but they're not very talkative. So they're the quiet, huggy people, and those are the yellows. And right in the middle of that quadrant, put down the key phrase or the key thing that the yellows are interested in, and that is helping.
Right? Anybody.
Helping anybody and everybody, sometimes to their own detriment. Sometimes the yellows will help people so much that they don't take care of themselves. So the yellows are the helpers, the nurturers. These are the, kindergarten teachers and people in the service industries, any
nurses.
Kind of teacher, nurses, massage therapists. Mother Teresa would be a good example of a yellow nurturer. If you think back to June Cleaver in Leave It to Beaver, June Cleaver was definitely a yellow character. Now, on the upper right, these are the open, the huggy people, and they're very, very talkative. And if you can get out your blue crayon for that, those are called the blues, and draw a blue chimpanzee. And so, if what was that chimp on TV, Mr. Muggs or something like that? He was always hugging people. All right. So if you picture a chimpanzee, very talkative, and I always picture this blue chimpanzee swinging from tree to tree, looking for fun.
It's a party animal.
That's right. And in the middle of that quadrant, in the big blue crayon, write down party time. These are the people that are great promoters. They're probably fairly scattered at some times, but they're always talking. They tend not to listen very well. And a good example from television would be Benny Hill or Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. I was speaking Canadian there for a minute. Lethal Weapon. All right, so these are the party animals, and these are the people that you want on your team for promotion and for getting enthusiasm up and going and getting people interested. Blues, if they're always good points and bad points or weaker points to these colors, and if the blue has a weak point, it's not listening and not following up. They're great at getting things going. But you can always come in and follow up on some of their good ideas and whatever they've started. Down in the lower left quadrant, these are the quiet, non-talky, indirect people, but they're also closed. And get out your green crayon and put a big picture of a green owl. So these are the greens, and I picture the owl. The owl, of course, has no arms, so it's impossible for an owl to give you a hug. These are non-huggy or unhuggy, quiet people. These are the greens, and the main objective of the greens' life is to get fat.
Just the fat.
Just the facts, man. So in the middle of the yellow quadrant, you've got helping, you've got party time for the blue quadrant, and for the greens, now you've got facts. So these are the engineers, the nerds, the accountants, the IT people. People who are green are, I mean, they like the facts. They're the ones that will search your documents for typographical errors. They take a long time to make a decision because they need information and information and more information.
So the person that I would relate to there is Mr. Spock from Star Trek.
Absolutely. All about logic, not much about emotion. Now, of course, these are all extremes. Everybody's got a little bit of everything in them. So these are extreme examples that we're giving. And the greens take a long time to make a decision, but when they make that decision, they are convinced of it. They like to be right.
And often they'll close themselves. You won't have to do any closing yourself.
Exactly.
When they're convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're in and they will be in forever.
That's right. So they're loyal to you, and they're also loyal to their own decision. Down at the lower right, with your red crayon, write the word red and draw a picture of a red shark. Now, it's easy to think about a red shark because red's the color of blood. And that's what I think of when I think of sharks.
And they can't hug other than give you the fin.
That's right. So if you want a fin.
And they like the money,
yeah.
So there's a fin.
Oh, my goodness.
Ba-da-ba-boom.
All right, so in the middle of that quadrant, they write down the word money. These people are interested in the bottom line. Let's get to business. And red characters, who would be a red character?
Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher, that's right. Steal my island,
I'll bomb you out of existence.
Donald Trump definitely would be a red. You probably want your wedding planner to be a red. You know, people get things done.
They also don't listen very well because they're convinced that they know everything.
Exactly. Yeah, they listen for a different reason, or don't listen for a different reason. The blues will be talking all the time. The reds just know everything already. So that is a really quick overview of the personalities. And again, you know, just maybe I didn't finish off on that last quadrant there. The sharks are definitely unhuggy. You will not get a hug from a red, and they are often talking all the time. But they're much more focused than a blue. A red will be talking all the time about his or her accomplishments, what kind of car they drive, the house that they live in, the people that they've fired or hired, or how much money they're making.
And often those business presentations that you see online where they've got the big, huge mansions and the Maseratis out there, those are usually targeting the reds. They want to know all of that stuff. They want to know how quickly they can buy the mansions and the Maseratis.
That's right. And any one word or any one situation can mean, well, at least four different things to people. So just picture the way that you give a business presentation or offer a free ebook. If you are not speaking the language of your prospect, then that person will not understand you. You might as well be speaking Phoenician or Lutonian to them. So if you can speak the same language as someone you're talking to, your prospect, you have a much better chance of being understood. And as Tom Big Al says, everybody wants more money. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants more time with their family. Everybody wants to go on vacation and do better in life. But when you're finished with them, they say no. Well, most of the time it's because they haven't understood you. So we're just going to give a quick overview of how to talk to the different personalities. It really doesn't matter what personality you are. I mean, it's good to have that understanding. I, for instance, know that I am mostly green. I know Richard is mostly green. Anna is mostly yellow, right? Because she cares a lot more than we do. But each of us can be a different color in different situations. For example, if I'm speaking to, if I'm trying to console somebody, that's my yellow side that comes out. If I'm at a party, I try to pretend that I'm blue. And if I'm dealing with customer non-service, I can be quite red. So we can, in each situation, we can alter our style. And you can alter your style at will, and we're going to show you how to do that.
And one of the most important things, Richard, is that oftentimes we may be a totally different color than what our primary color is in our day job, in our actual jobs, because, well, sometimes we just take on jobs that we may not be suited for personality-wise. So one of the best questions that you can ask your prospect as you're starting to build the relationship with them is, what do you do in your spare time? Because they may have a red job where they're hiring and firing and they don't enjoy it, but they're in that job and they need it. But when they're at home, they may be a yellow and all they're doing is nurturing everybody. So if you ask the question of what do you do in your spare time, you're probably more likely to get the real personality come out. It's like that old TV show, will the real Mr. Johnson please stand up?
That's right.
So
okay, well, we're going to start with the yellows. And just as a little recap about how to recognize a yellow, Anna's going to read a little a limerick here. Go ahead.
Young Teddy was a kind, caring fellow who would whisper, not holler or bellow. He took care of his brothers, his sisters, and others. His lifestyle was pure, mellow yellow.
Bada boom. All right, when you're talking to a yellow, and this applies to no matter what color you are, of course, the reds are exactly the opposites of the yellows. So the reds have the hardest time speaking to yellows because reds will just say, who are these crazy people? Annihilate them, because it just talking about family and friends and relationships is just not in the red's nature. So the red has the largest adaptation to make while talking to a yellow. And don't forget the yellows are, they're the quiet and huggy people. They're very people-oriented rather than task-oriented, and they like to help.
And so, they make up 35% of the population.
Absolutely.
So it's really important for all of us to know how to speak to yellows.
Right, and if you, like, say, for example, you are a red, 15% of the population, if you don't make the effort to alter your style to suit the rest of the world, you're going to be in conflict 85% of the time. So this is really worth learning and making a change to increase your success talking to people. So when you're talking to a yellow, it's okay to talk about feelings and relationships. That's tough for greens and reds, but that's okay to do that. So.
And you want to talk about their families and their kids, their cats and dogs if they've got them. And one of the most important things is to slow down when you're talking to them. They need you to talk a little slower because they take a little time to sort of get in there and really understand it. And the most important thing is you need to listen to the yellows. You need to ask questions so that they will start talking, because they will only provide as much information as you ask them. So if you ask the right question, you will get them to open up and start talking a bit more.
That's right, because yellows tend to tend to play second fiddle, at least verbally. They'll hold back, so you've got to allow a lot of time for and draw them out to answer your questions.
And one of the most important things with a yellow is that your job is to build trust with them. If you don't build trust with them, they're not going to do anything with you.
Right. So that's in the do list. In the don't list, don't talk too much. Don't take over the conversation. So this is tough for blues and reds. Don't take over the conversation, and don't give too much information, you greens, because the yellows don't care. What are they interested in? They're interested in how they can help people. Don't interrupt them, because it just when you interrupt anybody, really, it's more like bullying, and yellows are especially sensitive to that kind of bullying.
And most of them, because they enjoy helping so much, they're not going to care all that much about the comp plan.
That's right. So don't stress the comp plan. Don't be too energetic. because it'll just push the yellows back into some kind of shell. Stay mellow for the yellow. Now, you've got to leave lots of time for relationship building, and you've got to stress how products are going to help people. Right? So you've got to talk about the welcoming them to the team and how they can help people on the team, how they can nurture the team and use their people skills.
And the most important thing in the don't list is do not exaggerate at all. They will clue into that immediately.
And don't rush into your business plan too soon. Lots of time for building trust and building relationship. Don't be pushy. And do not talk about money or cars or recognitions or trophies. That's not what motivates the yellow. And this is mainly geared to reds. Do not stomp on yellows. Yellows may seem passive to you, and the urge is always there. The inclination is always there to stomp on people for you reds, and just resist that urge. And get huggier for a moment. It only lasts a little while. Talking over the phone, you can just appear huggier. All right? So don't forget that yellows are right brain thinkers. You know, think creativity and emotions and feelings. Now, we're going to move on to blues, the upper right quadrant. These are the chimpanzees, the blue chimps. And, no, I'm sorry, we're moving to, we're doing greens. Okay, I'm sorry, we're moving to the lower left quadrant. I got confused there. These are the greens. They're quiet people, not talky, and they're not huggy. They're very task-oriented, and these are people that are driven by facts. So here's a little verse about a green. Esmeralda suffers derision for her tedious love of precision. But this graph paper queen carries on being green and someday might make a decision. And it'll be the right one, too. So when you're talking to a green, this is what to do. Slow down and get to the facts quickly. Make it logical. Make it clear thinking. Greens really do not like fast talkers, and they do like a lot of facts.
And do not hug a green. They will just freeze up, and they'll just stand there. And every opportunity I get, I give Tom a big old bear hug.
He's getting better at taking them, but you can tell it's not his first choice. So along that line, you don't hug, don't do a lot of touching. Stay at arm's length. A handshake is great. A handshake is just fine with me. And with greens, you've got to be prepared to point to more info and more info and
more info.
Don't talk about your feelings or anything spiritual.
No ooga booga.
No ooga booga. That's right. Because greens will just look at you like you've got an eye in the middle of your forehead.
And they'll roll their eyes and hurt themselves.
Hey, you can slam those eyes up behind your eyebrows. Hard to get them down sometimes. Greens take a long time. Sometimes we call it the paralysis of analysis, but the greens take a long time to come to a decision because they're working things out. They're analyzing.
Which means that you need to be prepared to give them information. And if you run out of stuff to talk about, make sure you got the book handy to give them because they'll read it from cover to cover.
That's right. So you've got to be prepared for talking to a green. At least know where to point them. You've got to be structured, systematic, get to the point, and stick to the task at hand. Greens love to stay focused. Don't wander off talking about 17 different things.
So if you're a blue, make sure you don't wander because you will lose a green for sure.
Absolutely. Now, don't be pushy at all. Again, we've mentioned don't talk about family. It's not relevant to the situation at hand. And don't ever try to close a green. They're going to close themselves.
And some of us have a tendency of using our body to talk with. With a green, don't do a lot of flailing.
Flailing.
Because they will not want that at all.
I was going to call it hand gestures, but flailing is good. And please, curb your enthusiasm. The French have a great expression, trop de zèle, too much zeal, too much enthusiasm. It just drives us greens crazy. Don't bother with jokes or family stories or talking about travel adventures. And don't be late. Greens love punctuality. So that's really critical. Be on time. And when someone is late, you know, without a reasonable story, that's always a sign of incompetence, I think, to a green. And when a green is late himself or herself, greens go crazy.
They're not late.
No, well yeah, I know.
Unless they're in an accident.
Yeah. Do not dismiss greens just because they're slow to come to a decision. As Anna mentioned earlier, they're very loyal to their decision and hence very loyal to you.
And the most important thing with a green is that you got to make sure that the green is right, because with all the information that they are going to look at, they will be right. They will make that decision, and the decision will always be right for them.
Absolutely. And you've got to ask questions to get greens talking, because greens are very staid. They tend not to divulge a lot of information, so you've got to draw them out. And one good motto for the greens is documentation beats conversation. Lots of facts. Okay, so now we're going to move on to talking about reds.
Okay, Bob, before you do that, just one more point I wanted to make here. The greens, again, are 35% of the population. So between yellow and green, you're looking at more than two-thirds of the population. More than two-thirds of the people that you talk to are going to be yellow or green. So, it's a good place to start when you're identifying people, to know that two-thirds of people you talk to will be in those personalities. And you've got to get really good at dealing with those personalities because, again, they're two-thirds of the people. So it's just an important point to keep in mind.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And the other thing about this is we already know a lot of this stuff. Anybody that talks to people on a regular basis is automatically, if you want to get along in this world, automatically adjusts their style to the person that they're talking to. And as you said, if 70% of people are either green or red, you can recognize these right off. It's just...
No, not green and red.
I'm sorry, green and yellow.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, so we are moving on to talking about the reds.
Yes.
This is in the lower right quadrant. Your red shark is down there.
And again, they make up about 15% of the population. And our little limerick with them is, Alexander was quick as a rabbit. When profit appeared, he would grab it. You may call him red, but just show him the bread and get out of his way. Let him grab it. Waskawi wabbit.
Now, when you are approaching a red, now reds used to drive me absolutely mental. The hairs would start, I don't have any hair on the top of my head, so I'd have to use the back of my neck. The hairs would start standing up on the back of my neck. I could feel myself tensing up. I would get into conversations with reds, and Anna would come around the office,
room,
pry the phone out of my hand and say, Bob, I'll talk to him. But now, we're going to show you a trick here in a minute called Fluff Fluff Slam about how to handle reds, how to have fun with reds.
And the most important thing with reds is speed up your speech. They like to talk fast, and you better be prepared to just give them all the information because they're very, very confident. Give them a very firm handshake. Get to the point. Do not wander. Stick to business. Tell them about the money. What kind of money? Big money.
Big money.
They want to know
that
about
little
the business.
Money.
You've got
it.
Big money. Talk fast. Make your point quickly and move on. Don't hold them back. And the most important thing with them is when they're in, you just get out of their way because they will build your business faster than any other color.
Absolutely. And that was a good imitation.
I'm tired already.
Don't touch a red. Don't try to hug a red. It could be costly. Don't bother talking about families or pets or bring out your pictures because it's just not relevant to them. And sometimes reds will seem very rude. Don't take it personally. They don't mean it. It's just their way. Don't argue with a red.
You'll lose.
Our phrase is, you don't poke the panther. Otherwise, you're going to become lunch. They love to chew you up and spit you out because everything is a competition. And most of all, don't become intimidated or hostile. Don't back down because strength respects strength.
And they will take advantage of you at the first sight of you breaking down.
Yeah, showing any kind of weakness at all. So if you're a red yourself, you know what we're talking about. You are the kind of person that gets things done, full steam ahead and get the whiners below decks. But if you're dealing with another red, don't be afraid to just share the spotlight, share the top spot, because you can work as a team. And you're going to be surprised at how quickly reds will decide once to get into the business, once they've seen the big money, and get out of their way as they build the business. Now, one trick that we learned from Tom Big Al Schreider and Jerry DeRhino Clark uses it is fluff, fluff, slam. And this is a way to play with reds and to, well, Tom calls it manipulating people for fun and profit. Here's the routine. You give a red a compliment, and then you give another compliment, and then you issue a challenge. Jerry calls it fluff, fluff, slam. So here's how it could go. You know, Bill, you are the best presenter on our team, and you know more people than anybody I've ever met. But you know, last week Amy brought 5 people to the meeting, and I you probably couldn't beat that record. Now, to a red, the 2 compliments get some listening, or her listening, and then you push the button. Tom says there's a little red button in the middle of a red's forehead, and greens push that button for entertainment. Here's another example. Bill or Betty, you're the best. You've got the best presentation we've ever seen, and you're probably the hardest working person we've ever met. But you know, Amy sponsored 7 people last month. I'm not sure you could break that record. And Betty's thinking, I'll bury her. I'm sponsoring 12 people. So the Reds have no defense against this. And we were at a session with Jerry Clark, and he pushed the red button. And he asked people, the Reds in the audience, is, am I right? And they said, they're absolutely right. They have to rise to a challenge. One thing that we tried one time, we got talking to a Red on the phone who was bragging away about all the money that he'd made so quickly in his company, and how he went to the top of the pay plan, and he's driving this car and that car and so on. So I said, well, you know, that's great. You know, I really admire people that can make that much money so quickly. And that's wonderful that you're driving a BMW. Man, that's terrific. I'm not sure you could do that from scratch, you know, make a fresh start in a new company and do that again. But we really, we really admire you. There was a big, long silence afterwards. He never did join us. But
and the important thing here, Richard, is that Jerry DeRhino Clark is red. And he says that he knows the colors backwards and forwards. And yet, when Tom or anybody else that he knows does the fluff, fluff, slam, he has no recourse. He has to do it. It's part of his personality. He has to succumb to the challenge.
We're all just Pavlov's dogs.
Exactly. Yeah, we all respond to different bells, I guess. Okay, we're going to move on to the blues, and this is the upper, we've kind of gone around here. This is the upper right quadrant, and we're not going to read the limerick until the very end. But the blues, think about the blue chimpanzee, the big driving force is fun. You got to have fun. It's party time. So because blues are huggy and they're very talkative people, talking, talk, 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 talk all the time, it's okay to stand close to blues. Lots of touching during the conversation. Hugs are okay. And it's okay to talk about feelings. And when you're presenting to the blues, don't bother with information about the compensation plan. You stress the parties. Hey, we're getting on a
cruise.
A bus to New York. There's going to be a bucket of beer and
bungee jumping.
Millions of people to meet and lots of people to talk to. So stress the social aspect of your company. You got to speed up your speech, more volume, because blues are often quite loud. They may be the loudest people in the room, and you increase the confidence level of your voice. Lots of animation, lots of excitement, eye contact. You can flail with a blue, lots
sure
of body
can,
language.
Because they'll flail right back at you.
And, let them tell their jokes, let them ramble on. Those are some do's. Here are some don'ts. Don't be boring. And that's a good piece of advice for us greens. Don't give too much information. And don't get caught up in the orbits that they get into, because you have to be able to bring the conversation back. So even though you go for a little flight with them, a little flyby, don't quack, quack, quack. You stay on track. And if you're a blue talking to a blue, the real danger...
Good luck. Just kidding.
Yeah, the real danger is that you forget what you're there for. So make sure that you stay on track.
But the important thing with the blues is that they do see the big picture. The problem with them is they very rarely follow up. So if you're doing calls with them, you'll be the one doing the follow-up calls, because they're great at getting the new person to come and talk to you, but they will totally forget about the follow-up.
Absolutely.
Let me in here before we get too far away from it. You've kind of touched on this a couple of times, and particularly here with the blue. And you know, the way you made the point before not to interrupt, but you can interrupt, and the way with blue. But the way you do it is you key on something that they were talking about, and you know, and then you interrupt and ask for more information about that point, and at the same time you kind of twist and move them back in the direction you want them to go. So you need to be listening carefully in order to hear that point. You can find it because about so much it be there someplace. You just latch onto that point and have them, and then interrupt them, have them expand on that point. As long as you're asking them to talk more, you know, they don't mind being interrupted. So, you know,
that's
fine. Yeah.
You know, and just at the opposite end of that, Richard, I remember playing with a blue when I was teaching. There was a woman on our staff called Mary, and we used to call her Interplanetary Mary, because she would just go off and she would repeat her stories, and she could get started talking about taking her daughter to skating and leaving her husband as shopping. I said, wait a minute, does he still have that leather jacket that he bought? Oh, where did he buy that? There was a good sale on there. And I would take her
toy with her.
You'd take her as far away from the original story as you could. So if you've got the power to play with blues for evil like that, to take them off on some interplanetary flight, you've got the power to bring them back, just as you say. And they don't mind being interrupted. So when you're talking to blues, make sure that you stress recognition, too. They love fancy clothes and fancy cars and so on. And talk about the admiration that they're going to get.
They want to see their name on trophies.
Yep.
Lots of trophies.
and if you're a green, Jerry Clark says, if you're a green, you can perform a giggle or two or even a full-out laugh once in a while. Make sure you speak in generalities. They don't want too much detail. Loosen up and have some fun. And there are books on how greens can learn to have fun. If you think about the Odd Couple, if you're a green, you're probably Felix Unger, and the blue would be Oscar Madison. So you've got to make a change. And especially for greens, have a nap after you talk to a blue, because you're going to need it. So here's just the wrap-up here about blues. There was a young bluebell named Mary, whose style was interplanetary. Ever so chatty, she'd drive us all batty. And at the end of the limerick, she'd forget what she was trying to rhyme. And what was the question again, Richard?
Okay, I guess that kind of sums it up on blues.
I think so. All right, well, that's the end of our spiel.
Okay.
I think what you're going to find, and you know from experience, Richard, it was in your introduction, as soon as you learn this, and really apply it, and have fun with it. That's the whole thing. As Tom says, you don't have to know this perfectly. You know, he claims he's wrong 50% of the time, but the other 50%, life is a lot easier.
But, Richard, we think that the colors is one of the most important skills that we can learn. And for anybody new on the call, we used to walk around with the four quadrants in our pocket or in our purse, and everywhere we went, we would make a game of it. Whether we were in a restaurant, the waiters, you name it. If we went to a grocery store, we'd be analyzing everybody. And the better you become at the colors, the better you will know the foreign languages.
It dovetails with what Bob said, don't worry about being wrong, because here's the thing, when you're learning colors, you're listening to people. If you have to listen, the only way you can play this game is to listen. And if you're listening, you're not going to be far wrong. Now, you might be talking to someone who's green, but they're talking about something that, you know, like me, editing or something, they're really excited about, and they sound blue to you, but, you know, and you treat them like a blue, that's okay. You're going to be close enough the way you talk to them that they probably won't even notice the difference, and you've been forced to listen to them closer, so, you know, what you have heard, you're just going to be better in talking with them. So don't worry about being wrong. Just get out and do it.
Absolutely. And please do not don't fret so much about what color somebody is. This is a tool that is supposed to widen your experience or expand your knowledge, and it's not meant for you to spend all your time worrying about what color somebody is and pigeonholing them into one of these four quadrants.
Including yourself. Don't use it as a crutch. Don't say, oh, well, I'm blue and I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can.
Yeah, or I'm yellow. I can't stand up to him or her.
Right, exactly.
I'm green. I can't have any fun.
We know that, Bob. So have fun with it is the most important thing, Richard.
Okay. You know, I really appreciate your insights tonight, both you guys. And the focus on how the different colors talk to each other, I think, is, you know, it puts it out there in reality, showing just demonstrating exactly how you actually do this in real life, and I think that's always really useful to you. So
absolutely.
Anyway, I greatly appreciate you guys being on the call with us tonight. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Richard.
Our
and
pleasure.
Just one last little thing that I want to tell everybody. If you've got children, use the colors with them. Have fun with it. Teach them how to do it. They're going to get along a lot better in life with their peers. They'll understand who the bullies are, and it'll help them when they become adults. I wish someone had taught me this 40 years ago.
Very good point, and you're right. Kids pick up on this really quickly, so... that's a very good recommendation. Again, thanks very much to Bob and Anna for being with us tonight. We will have another call here in about, about 50 minutes at the bottom of the hour, at 10:30 Eastern time, and that'll be the Coach's Corner Mastermind call. And I know most of you read the Think and Grow Rich book by Napoleon Hill, and you know that gets analyzed a lot on the Coach's Corner call. But one of the key points to me is that when Napoleon Hill wrote this book, he did it from his experience of working with very successful people, and you know what he found in common. You know, I told you about the interviews I did with people, and what I found in common was they all had used the colors training. What Napoleon Hill found in common was they all were parts of mastermind groups. Every one of them was in a mastermind group, and you can benefit so much from the thought process and analysis of people who come from entirely different backgrounds than you. So anyway, hope you guys will join us on the Coach's Corner call at 10:30 Eastern time. Appreciate Bob and Anna tonight and everybody who's been on the call, and we will talk to you guys on the next call. Good night, everybody.